So we're a 3D printing and design business. We've been designing products in the Bitcoin space for almost 9 years now. We just have fun. We design products the community wants.
I have hope for a future where some level of hyper-Bitcoinization takes hold and everyone just says, well, why wouldn't I do this thing? I could earn, you know, 3 Bitcoin. I could earn, you know, 1.5 Bitcoin. We end up with like a truly secure, decentralized network on an entirely global scale.
Everybody pumping hopium that you see 24/7 nowadays on social media, I think is just engagement farming out the max. Let's be honest, normies, they're pretty dumb.
You can provide value as a kid, as a young person, that's a philosophy I want to begin to instill in them. And I feel like the 3D printer to me seemed like an obvious solution.
It really hit me pretty fast. I know it takes people a little bit longer, but for me, 6 months, I think is fast. You buy Bitcoin, you stack, and it's your best savings account you'll ever have in your life.
Hey everyone, Michael here with the Bitcoin Way podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Today on the show, I have Rick from CryptoCloaks. Rick is an awesome guy, super based. We talk about 3D printing, the importance of self-sovereignty over the things that you create. We talk about Bitcoin. He is not a paper Bitcoin guy. I'm just going to warn you, he's got a great hot take at the very end. You will love Rick and this episode. Hey everyone, like I said in the intro, I've got Rick here. Rick, welcome to the Bitcoin Way podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited. This will be a fun conversation. So we met briefly in Las Vegas. I'm sure, I don't know if you remember, but you probably talked to a million people there. You guys had an awesome setup. But I want to get to CryptoCloaks in a minute. One of the things that I didn't realize that you all were selling on your site are Solo miners.
Yep.
And that's something that we absolutely love. We think everyone should have a Solo miner, be playing the lottery every 10 minutes and adding some hash rate to the network. When did that start? And what was sort of the significance of this for you?
Yeah, so like, we probably started selling Solo miners a year and a half ago. And it's really funny. Like, we started getting into it just because like somebody ripped off our case design. And what happened is from there, I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to start selling miners myself. I designed a case all around it. And then everything blew up all around that. So really, my journey was very unexpected to start selling Solo miners. And here we are a year and a half later, and it's probably our best selling product besides our Bitcoin grenade now.
The Bitcoin grenade's still number one.
Yep. I think that's it always will be.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's for you? Like, I can tell you my thoughts on solo mining. Like, I think it's a cool hobby thing. I think it's also, it's maybe less significant than running a node, but I think it's of that sort of order of importance that yep. you begin to tinker, understand what it is you're doing, how it works. What for you is the importance of,
I think you said it. I think you said it exactly. To me, it's almost like running your own node. Everyone should have their own node in their household. Everyone should be running one. And with solo mining, I think everyone should run their own also, just to understand the basics of mining. The solo miners are great. We call them lottery miners. I don't call them you're going to hit blocks and make a lot of money. They're lottery miners. They are what they are. They're a great learning tool to understand like what Bitcoin mining is and understand the basics. And I think that's why everyone should have one in their house.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to play the lottery?
Exactly. And when I look at like the future of Bitcoin, I did the math at one point in time on if everyone in the world, you know, just let's say every person, 8 billion people have, you know, a 1 terahash miner. Like, what does that look like in terms of, you know, scale compared to the Bitcoin network today? And it's like it dwarfs what we have in terms of, you know, public hash rate and all of that. And it makes sense, obviously, at that scale. I don't think we get there, but I have hope for a future where some level of hyper Bitcoinization takes hold and everyone just says, well, why wouldn't I do this thing? I could earn, you know, 3 Bitcoin. I could earn, you know, 1.5 yep. Bitcoin. And then they just kind of, we end up with like a truly secure, decentralized network on an entirely global scale. And it's what, I mean, I don't know what your cheapest one is. Like, probably the BitAx was
like 104. Yeah. $104.99.
Yeah, that's affordable. That's within reason of many people. And so if you're looking for Christmas gifts, anyone, I think you should go over to CryptoCloaks and check it out. So hey, man, why don't you talk a little bit about CryptoCloaks? I think you guys have sort of a unique business. I'd love to hear what it is you do, sort of the origin story. And I've got to ask, why not Bitcoin Cloaks?
Well, I'll start out with that. Everyone goes, why aren't you Bitcoin Cloaks? Why don't you change your name and all this stuff? And I go, I will never bend the knee to shitcoiners who tried to hijack the term crypto. We've been around long enough where crypto used to be like cryptographic, like cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is the original. That's where it came from. It's cryptographic cloaks. It goes with the whole cloaking thing, because originally we designed crypto cloaks from trying to hide our hardware wallets and get them off our desks like 8-9 years ago now. And that's where kind of everything took off. So yeah, I won't ever bend the knee. It's going to be crypto cloaks for life. If people hate the term crypto, I understand, but I will never let shitcoiners hijack that name. I think it's very important to us. Also, we started out designing a Ledger Nano S mount, and that was our very first product that we sold on Etsy. And that's kind of where everything took off. And after 6 months on Etsy, I go, why am I paying Etsy 35% of the profits? And kind of and made my own website and went from there, and then got down the rabbit hole as you get into Bitcoin and stuff like that. And you go, oh, BTC Pay server. And I've been running BTC Pay for probably 8 years now. We were probably one of their first corporate businesses. We were right behind like CoinCards on getting our BTC Pay server running. And I've been using them ever since. There's, for me, I think that's the best freedom option of accepting Bitcoin and Lightning transactions for your business.
That's awesome. And so talk a little bit about what you all do. I think anyone watching online can see the rig behind you. What's special about the business?
So we're a 3D printing and design business. We've been designing products in the Bitcoin space for almost 9 years now. In December, it is December, I guess, technically in about 3 weeks, it's going to be our 9 year. So I'm really excited about that. But we design all of our own products mostly, and then we 3D print all of our stuff in-house. We've just expanded over into Europe. So all of our 3D printed products and metal products are coming to Europe here shortly, shipping from Germany. But yeah, we just have fun. We design products the community wants. So 90%, probably 90% of our products come from ideas from the community asking, hey, you guys should design this and make it. And if we love it, we'll design it, make it, and sell it. I mean, that's what we've been doing for 9 years. So
your operation in Germany, I assume you're not you're shipping out of Germany, which means you're printing there as well, I assume. So you've got someone basically with a similar setup to what we see here in the background.
Yeah, so the best part is Patrick out of Germany. He has printers just like we do in our background, and he has all the files now, and he just prints it and ships directly from Germany. So that way we can skip customs. We can skip enormous shipping, trying to jump the pond nowadays. It's getting ridiculous. So I look forward to it because we can get all of our products out to people in Europe for a lot cheaper. You're saving probably at least $50 an order.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's the future is decentralization.
Yeah.
And sometimes, unfortunately, that means you got to jump through hoops and avoid the tax man. But I love to see it. So have you guys been, you said you've been using BTC Pay server since day one, or like, was that,
probably within like 6 months of them coming out, to be honest, because we were looking for our own, we created our own website, and I was trying to figure out how we would accept Bitcoin. And what is this name? I'm trying to figure out who told us about it. But he said, hey, you should look into BTC Pay. And I was like, okay. So we actually were running our own BTC Pay server off of a little Raspberry Pi 3 back in the day. And that was it. And it was cool. And just watching how that whole platform has transformed and being able to even run it on like a Luna node cloud server if you want to make it super easy. And just every implementation they've been coming out with over 8 years has really made it, honestly, a very easy process for me.
So basically, at this point, if you're not accepting Bitcoin as payment, your conviction's either too low or you're lazy. Because
if you're not accepting Bitcoin in a Bitcoin business nowadays, you're just lazy. There's so many tools out there that allow you to easily accept Bitcoin that it's just stubbornness or laziness at this point.
Yeah. Square.
I know. Square just did that.
Like tap your card, convert it to Bitcoin. I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. So why don't you talk a little bit about your Bitcoin origin story? So you said you've been running the business since 2017. When did you find Bitcoin? How quickly did you jump into working full time in it?
So I probably found Bitcoin around the same time that I really dove into the business, to be honest. Like I said, our first product was a Ledger Nano S, and that was probably three months after I went into like the cryptocurrency space. For me, the origin story was you get into it, you see all these different like cryptocurrencies, and you go down the shitcoin rabbit hole for like 6 months. After that, I kind of learned and started doing more research, and you're just like, why am I gambling? I don't have time to try to figure out what the next coin is. When should I sell it? What's this project? It really came down to Bitcoin was easy. You saw all its potential. You saw it was limited. You saw all the benefits of Bitcoin how it's used as money nowadays. And after 6 months being in the space, I just said, I'm all in Bitcoin. That's easy. I don't have to worry about anything. I just stack, put it away in cold storage, and I don't have to constantly try to like figure out the new thing to try to make a couple hundred dollars on like pump and dumps. And that was way back in the day before all that, like ICOs and stuff. So that it really hit me pretty fast. I know it takes people a little bit longer, but for me, 6 months, I think is fast. I really saw the true benefit of Bitcoin being it's mindless. It really is. You buy Bitcoin, you stack, and it's your best savings account you'll ever have in your life.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's interesting you say that, because I went down the rabbit hole much later than you, 2022, but I spent the first 6 months of the year learning about crypto, and it was so overwhelmingly complicated, some of the projects and everything. And I was fortunate. I'd been directed by a handful of people like, hey, you need to follow Preston Pysh and Lynn Alden, read the Bitcoin Standard, like those sorts of things. And so I was like doing that while I was going down the shitcoin rabbit hole too. And by the time, I guess, what would it have been? What would have been the first one? Like Terra Luna, like some of these collapses had happened. I had enough knowledge of Bitcoin that I was like, I don't think I can touch this stuff anymore. Yeah. And so it was literally late June of 2022 after 6 months of studying that I remember being at a wedding trying to orange pill some guy on Bitcoin. And I don't know that he ever took to it, but I couldn't agree more. I feel bad for these people who get like stuck in this endless doom loop of like, well, there's a new project. Here's what they do better. Now Zcash is the privacy coin.
Oh my God. It's so like unnatural nowadays. It's just, if you can't see how unnatural all the big like crypto accounts pumping random shit to you is, I mean, that's just your own fault now, because I will say we are very lucky from being in like the 2018 to 2020 space where people were pushing hard on like the basics of Bitcoin. It is really hard to find nowadays where people are like self-sovereignty, buy Bitcoin, get it off an exchange, hold it, KYC free. And it's crazy. Like you don't ever see people pushing like run your own node that much anymore. But like when I got into it, it was still, I kind of think like the cypherpunk days. Ever since Wall Street came in, it's a whole different ballgame. And I think we got to kind of get back to our roots. But that's just going to take time, right? Big money's here. New money's here. Everyone's excited for pumps. And in reality, it comes back to, I think we need to go back to the basics.
So I completely agree. I think that like part of the reason I wanted to talk with you is like, because you're just doing things. Like you're just building in Bitcoin. You're talking about running a node. You're selling solo miners. When I juxtapose that with Michael Saylor, who understandably, like he's had a big impact on a lot of people's journey, but like now these other treasury codes that to me are incrementally better than shit coins, maybe.
They're just scams. Let's be honest. I'll put it that way.
It's like, they're scams built on something that's not a scam. And I'm like, I just couldn't be less interested in like, if you pump my bags, great. But I don't really care. Like self-sovereignty is better than number go up. Any day of the week, period. And I think people are just so enticed by, like, I sympathize with the class of 2025. They're coming in and they don't even know what Bitcoin is. They're like, okay, I get the big print is coming. I understand I need to protect myself. So should I buy Strategy? And it's like, no. You should run a node. You should solo mine. Yes. You should learn how to properly buy and secure your Bitcoin, and you're off to the races. So that's what I admire about what you guys are doing is it's nothing fancy. It's just like you're here for the self-sovereignty vibes and making cool products for people to, you know, to enjoy, gift their family at the holidays.
Because I mean, let's be honest, we all want number to go up, but out of everything that Bitcoin is, that's my last thing. Like obviously it's great. You'll have a ton of money in fiat. But like I want to build generational wealth, and I want to protect my family's wealth. And I think that's what Bitcoin is, and I think we're getting away from that. I think people are more worried about just the pump and like, oh, if it goes to $1 million, I'll be rich. And it's like, what are you rich in?
Yeah.
You should be rich in family. You should be rich in like experiences. You shouldn't be rich in fiat. I don't give a shit about that. I never have. Yeah.
I there was a time when that mattered a lot to me, and I couldn't agree more with you now. It's interesting. So over Thanksgiving, I was out of town with my wife's family, and I was talking to a couple of guys, and I think I've probably got them on the path to being orange-pilled, and they were talking about like how they should, you know, but they really like real estate, buying land, and I was like, here's the thing. Like, I was like, I'm not going to predict what Bitcoin's going to do in the future. I think it's going up, but like in dollar terms and purchasing power, yeah. But it doesn't really matter. When you own land, you are beholden to local ordinances. You're beholden to eminent domain. You're yep. beholden to property taxes, insurance, all these things. When I buy Bitcoin, if the purchasing power never changes, but I just continue to accumulate more sats, my self-sovereignty grows exponentially yes. with that. Like, that is what wealth is. And it's so hard to get through, like, get that message through to someone who's just beginning. And they're like, yeah, but what if the returns are lower? It's like, there are no returns. like I always say, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom. Like, it is. That's the yield. It's not these other things. Okay. In spite of number go up not being, I think, either of our primary focus.
Yep.
I am curious, what's your long-term Bitcoin thesis? Like, are you like a hyper Bitcoinization guy? It's the global reserve currency of the world at some point.
I think eventually we'll get there. Everybody pumping hopium that you see 24/7 nowadays on social media, I think is just engagement farming out the max. Let's be honest. Normies, they're pretty dumb. you only get smarter when you understand Bitcoin, to be honest. Like, you ask any normal person if the dollar's backed by anything, and they'll still say gold. And you're like, yeah. All right, that's where we're at. Wow. Or they just don't understand that printing, like the money printer, ruins their dollar value. They have no idea. So to me, it's going to take a very, very long time. And unfortunately, it might take like a really hard hit in the economy for people to actually truly understand why Bitcoin's good. Yes, Bitcoin might lose like the dollar value if a huge crash comes, but what they don't understand is like the purchasing power behind that is still the same no matter what happens. It's the scarcest asset. And it's the only thing that truly is freedom, because like you were saying earlier, land. Well, the government can take it. It's not yours. If they really want it, they can take it. Bitcoin, you can't take. Good luck prying 12 words out of my head, or I'll forget. It doesn't matter. Like, there's always ways to get around it. And I think Bitcoin is truly the one thing that we have that is freedom, and you can get it that way.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. I think I see one of two potential paths. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. One of them is like a slow grind to normies waking up, and that I think is, you know, that could be 50, 7500 years from yep. now, who knows. At this point, though, as I look at, we do like a biweekly news show on our channel called Bitcoin Banter, and we're talking, it's like every week there's a new digital ID, a new push for CBDCs, like insane tax policies in like yep. Western countries. Like, this isn't just like, you know.
Oh, that's bad, man.
It's truly insane. Most people aren't quite there yet, but I think we could reach a point here in the next 5 to 10 years where out of desperation, people are looking for an alternative.
And I think that's the perfect word for it. I think until people get desperate, most of like regular people won't want Bitcoin, won't care. They're just in the grind or either trying to survive. But until they get truly desperate, I don't think they want to get into Bitcoin unless they have family members or friends telling them otherwise. I think it's going to be a slow grind unless something desperate does happen. Truly.
Yeah, I think Max Payne, unfortunately, is the
yeah, it sucks.
Is the only way. You've either got to be immensely curious as a person, or you just need to suffer hard yeah. enough and long enough,
or eventually just hate the government long enough that you go, how the hell can I avoid them? And you go, okay, Bitcoin. That's my one thing.
Yeah, and maybe the hopeful thing is that government does. It's like every week there's something new and stupid that the government does that. I have to imagine 10 new people are waking up and saying, yeah, something's off.
There's definitely a movement of people finally waking up, just like an overall government and what's happening and all this crap. So I think eventually it'll happen. I don't know how many years. I really don't. And anybody that tells you otherwise, they don't know. I can hope for the best. I can hope for tomorrow that everyone finally wakes up and understands where they are. But I think it's going to take probably 10 to 20 years. And That's okay. I mean, I have a long-term savings plan. That's why we're here.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm curious then, as someone who I think understands the fundamentals probably better than most people coming into this space who are newer, Is there an approach that you take? I assume you're talking to friends, family, trying to orange pill people. Like,
I try, man, but I just gave up. I'm not gonna lie.
You done?
I'm done, man. When you try for five years. So I was doing it ever since like late 2017. And I started giving up at like 2022. Like, I tried doing my family, I tried doing my friends, and they're like, ah, scam this, I don't have time. This is, I'm not gonna be around when it's it. I'm just like, all right, that's fine. And I'm done. And I just keep my mouth shut and do what I want. And then the peace that I get is I slowly stack for everybody that I truly do love. So if shit hits the fan, I got them covered. But I just gave up trying to tell people about Bitcoin. And I'm glad people haven't, because it needs to happen. But I personally, I just got sick of like nobody listening for 5 years.
Yeah. Is there anyone that you managed to onboard?
I've probably gotten a couple close friends. I've actually gotten like four close friends and like two family members that have reached out. But that's it, out of like hundreds that I've tried. So, I mean, did I give up when my percentage is maybe like 10%? I don't know. Maybe I should have kept going, because 10% is pretty good, right?
I feel like you as a Bitcoiner trying to desperately orange pill people, you learn very quickly that the people you assumed trusted you really don't trust you all that much. You know, I thought if I brought something to the table that they would say, oh, hey, if Michael's talking about this, he's doing some research, this, you know, this is something worth looking into.
Yeah.
And I've got my brother is he's orange pilled in spirit. He gets it. He sees the chaos, the government, you know, nonsense. Still haven't gotten him to read a Bitcoin book or anything like that.
Never,
but he's bought some, and he's stacked, and that might be my victory, you know.
I've tried hard to get my immediate family. Zero. And I've tried for 8 years, and I'm just like, you guys, do you remember when I was telling you when it was $3,000 to buy? Yeah. Am I crazy now? Like, how do you still not believe me? It's wild. And they still are like, I got time for it. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, and I know I have a lot of people in my life who are like serious readers. Like, for them to set aside one of their books that they've chosen and just read the Bitcoin Standard or the Big Print or something like that would be trivial.
Just set aside your smut books, all right? And just read a Bitcoin book one time.
Yeah, one time is all it would take, I think, for a lot of people to recognize that. Gosh, man. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I think you probably share a similar experience. I feel like there are people like, you know, Joe Bryan, who did What's the Problem?
Yep.
I think there are people like that who I imagine he shows up to the holidays and everyone listens to what he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
He's so smart and just like, I don't know. I could see, like... It's hard to deny a guy who seems that nice, that well educated. You know, maybe it's a personality or temperamental issue that I have or something. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I've tried to. I think you're in the same boat as 99% of Bitcoiners trying to convince their family members and friends to buy it. We're just the crazy ones that like really went down the rabbit hole and are like, oh God, okay, yep, this is it.
Yeah. Well, and the people, by the way, I there were two or three people I talked to over the Thanksgiving week who I think are probably pretty seriously thinking about this, considering it. One of them ordered the Bitcoin Standard while I was sitting there, which I think is great. But they were, what I figured out was they were already primed to hear the message. Like, we started talking about, I'm not even going to mention the other things, the rabbit holes we went down, because we get our channel canceled quickly. But they were already down those rabbit holes. Like, they've woken up to a lot of things, and we're actually talking about gold. And so it's like, okay, that's at least we've got a launch pad here.
Exactly. You know,
where we can start this conversation. But unless you're there, it's an uphill battle.
It really is. And I think it comes down to, if that person starts getting curious, then yes. Obviously, if somebody ever comes to me and asks about Bitcoin, I'm all right. I will orange pill the shit out of you. Like, I've had a couple family or friends come over and like, all right, they saw the price pump and they're like, all right, tell me your pitch. And I was like, it's not a pitch, but I'll tell you why I love it. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's worked. But trying to force people to understand, it'll never work. They have to be curious. I've learned.
I think that's kind of the approach. I mean, I don't want to give up. If I'm given a chance to speak, go on a podcast, anything like that, I'll spread the orange message.
But you got to continue, man. Somebody's got to do it. It's your turn.
Yep. Yeah, man. So let's talk a little bit about, we're blowing through some of the topics I have here to talk about, but I want to talk to you about 3D printing, because yep. to me, this is, I told you, so the reason we got in touch was I messaged you about, hey man, what 3D printer should I get? I want to learn for myself. I want to tinker. I'm at an age where I probably am not going to have the time to tinker as much as I'd yep. like, but I've got young kids who I want them growing up, learning to build, learning to design, you know, like I want them to look at someone like you and be like, oh, you can just do things and yep. I can go create a product and oh, I can make, you know, ornaments for my family for Christmas. I can 3D print myself that I designed.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty cool thing. So talk about how you got into 3D printing and why this was sort of the business approach you did.
Yeah. So I got into 3D printing. It was my senior year in college. We had a senior design project where there was like lasers, mills, 3D printers, and like a bunch of different things or tools to make a product. And I was in charge of the 3D printer. And that's kind of where I fell in love with it. I got to design a certain part, 3D print it. And once I graduated, I was like, I want my own. And this was back in the day where 3D printers aren't really plug and play. So there was a lot more learning to do, but that's where I kind of fell in love with it. And then once I got into Bitcoin with that whole aspect, you really understand that 3D printing is self-sovereignty on a completely different level. Bitcoin's the money self-sovereignty and freedom. Same with printing. It's not money, but it's self-sovereignty on like the freedom aspect. You can do anything with these printers nowadays. You can design whatever you want. You can print whatever you want. And like a good thing is like, or a good example is guns. Probably controversial as hell, but I think it's truly freedom tech. The fact that you can 3D print a gun on a printer and never have to worry about anybody is the best thing on the planet. And that's just like one example, but I've done things like, I went to a store. I tell a story all the time. I went to a store at like Lowe's. I've tried Target. I tried Home Depot. And I was just looking for small Christmas clips to hang out my Christmas lights on my roof. Everywhere was sold out. So I go, okay, what am I doing? I can just design my own real quick. And I just printed all my own hooks after designing them. And I was like, wow, that was kind of like a big moment. I was like, holy shit, you can just kind of do whatever you want. Like, that's oh, you have amazing. A problem? Yeah. Design it. If not, there's billions of files online that you can just download and print yourself that you're already looking for. And I truly think that every Bitcoiner should have a 3D printer because it is self-sovereignty.
So what are some of your, besides the products that you sell, like what are some of your favorite things that you've 3D printed so far?
Oh God. So I've done like random stuff. I've done like flower pots around our like a patio table that just hold, like 3D printed out of carbon fiber that held flowers because we wanted something to look nice on our patio. I've done the Christmas light hooks. I've done birdhouses for like in our backyard. I've fixed like ductwork. I've fixed like our furnace had like some parts that were broken. I fixed a dishwasher part. I mean,
are you serious?
Yeah, it's endless, man. Like, and the best part is like half the like the dishwasher part. It was like a little spinning part that went on the top, like sprayed water. I found the file online. I didn't even need to design myself. I printed it off and put it back in. And like, they don't make that part anymore. So the best part is you can literally just design or find parts that they don't like produce anymore. And you just produce them in your basement real quick and fix your stuff.
Did you say that you printed, what was it that you printed? Carbon fiber?
Oh, carbon. Yeah. So like PETG carbon fiber, it's like plastic infused carbon fiber. So okay. Yeah. So like we do a lot of our shrouds out of that, like our ASIC mining shrouds and stuff.
Okay.
Cause you can't see the layer lines. So it's beautiful.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is probably a lot bigger. I probably have a more powerful tool down in my basement than I realized.
People don't understand. Like you can buy a printer for $200 right now, A1 Mini. And that's what I'd do if you want to just go down the rabbit hole and learn off of Bamboo Labs. But the freedom that you have and the amount of like learning you can do on this tool is exponential. Like if you truly want another rabbit hole, get a 3D printer.
Okay, this needs to be it for me. So what made me interested? So we homeschool our kids,
amazing.
And they have like a what they call it, like a maker's market where they have to like make, you know, like I think my daughter was making bookmarks and then she decided she wanted to like I don't know, she's 7, so it was like, you know, it's like arts and crafts kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's cool.
I
love
cool.
it, man. I love that. My kid already has a 3D printer. He's 1.5. He doesn't even know how to use it.
So this is it. I was like, unfortunately, I was too late getting the printer in to meet my daughter's needs for this market thing. But I was like, it would be way cooler if my daughter showed up with something that she's like, I designed this and then I 3D printed it. And it's actually something that someone would want to pay. Because, you know, all the parents are going to be walking around giving a couple bucks to kids for, you know, some dumb little thing, art project that they made. And it's like, okay, cute. Let's support the children. I get that.
Yep.
But wouldn't it be 10 times cooler to be like, I designed this, I printed it, and now I have something that you might actually hang on your Christmas tree, use in your daily life, you know, like, it, to me, that just seems so much more compelling. And like to teach my kids at a young age that you can provide value, like real value as a kid, as a young person. Like that's a philosophy I want to begin to instill in them. And I feel like the 3D printer to me seemed like an obvious solution. Oh, so I don't know if you have any suggestions as to where I might take that, but
I can tell you like programs to get them started on like basic stuff, but I think you're right. I think it's very, very important to teach kids entrepreneurial like skills. I think too many kids get caught up in like the rat race of like corporate life, which to me is just like soul sucking, draining. And I'm so glad that I'm out of it, because if you're an entrepreneur, you can do whatever you want. And yeah, sometimes it takes time to build a business. And that's why, yeah, maybe you build it on the side like I did while running your corporate job. And then eventually when you hit 20 hours a week and you're just like, holy shit, I get like 2 hours of sleep. It's time that I quit the corporate job and just like jump in all in.
Yeah,
I think it's really important for kids to learn those skills. And I truly want my kids to like have their own business, like, or run mine. Like I want them to do their own thing. Yes. It's cool to go to college and all that stuff, but I think it's overblown. And I really want them to like do their own thing now, because to me, I feel like it's more passionate and like more fulfilling, but if they don't feel that way, that's fine. I mean, I'll try my best, but that's up to them.
It's funny you bring that. I'm reading a book right now called The Preparation, and it's designed. I heard it was actually a guy, I think his name's Doug Casey. He was on Ron Paul's podcast and had a friend send it to me. He wrote this book that's basically an alternative to college. And he talks about how, like, college is just, it's a scam. You're paying a ton of money to pretend to learn when you could spend those 4 years at a fraction of the cost. You could come out like a trained EMT, have your pilot's license. Like, and you like go, they have like these I can't really call them, but like, these segments of education where it's like you burn through like 16 of these over 4 years and you have real world skills. Yep. You've adapted like, you know, internships or, you know, ways
like
of
apprenticeships are so huge that people don't take advantage of, and like trade jobs.
That, yeah.
I think my generation got kind of screwed up telling to go to college and stuff like that. While in fact, like trade jobs, you are probably way
better. Oh, way better off. Did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to college for like 6 years. I became an industrial engineer.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked at Genio Turkey, killing 35,000 turkeys a day, and I got sick of it.
I can imagine. So in industrial engineering, then, I assume that lent itself pretty well, though. You probably paid way more than you needed to learn skills, but it probably lends itself to the sorts of design work you do, you know, operating with CAD systems.
I will say STEM, if you go to college, go for STEM. If you're not going for STEM, just do trade jobs or find something else, or like learn and do like entrepreneurial shit. Cause like engineering for me was super, it was super fun. And I really enjoyed every aspect of it. You're doing design, you're doing everything that I'm doing right now, but now it's all for me. Yeah. And that's the best part.
Well, I mean this in a complimentary way. You struck me as someone who would have dropped out of college and just gotten bored and said, enough, I'm not wasting my time here anymore. So
I partied a lot in college. That's for sure. Cause I was bored. So
I look back at college and it was fun, met a lot of great people, and I can't imagine a worse use of time for my professional aspirations and desires than college represented. It's crazy. I'm trying to think of where to take this. I mean, we could rag on Treasury Co's more, talk more about 3D printing.
Companies. I mean, what more do we need to say? It's just paper Bitcoin. It's all a scam. Don't get fooled. Buy your own Bitcoin. It's just easy, man.
Like, yeah, no, I completely agree with that. What would be your pitch for, this is kind of an interesting path for me. Just it's top of mind. So I have a 7-year-old daughter. I have a 4.5-year-old boy.
Yep.
And with my girls, you know, I have desires and dreams, things I want, like I'd love for them to learn. For my son, though, it's particular. Like I think I put myself in his shoes, and I'm like, you know, age 4.5. What do I wish that? Not, I had a great dad, but just a very traditional academic course that I was set upon. What would be your guidance as you, like, knowing what you know now, having gone to college, but now building a business, learning what you've learned, you've got a kid, you know, 5 years old, say, like, yep. What's sort of the trajectory of education that you push them toward?
For me, it's just like learning different skills. Cause like, I think designing and rapid prototyping is like a really cool concept to me. I love it. I do it all the time. And I would love my kid to learn that. Like, I think it's really important to build on their imagination. And when you can design your own products and you have this computer software called Tinkercad, and you're just moving blocks around and like spheres and stuff, and you're kind of just designing your own thing. And once you have this little simple design, you can just put it in a slicer and print it, and it's in your hand, and you're like, whoa, I just took this thing from a computer screen and now it's a physical. I think that's like a really huge connection that they'll take. And then I hope that it will just like bloom into like this whole thing of what crazy stuff can I make? And it just gets, and it's just built on that. So what, like for me, when my kid gets old enough to run all this stuff, it's like building a base of like where to start from and see if he's mm-hmm. super interested. And hopefully from there, it's just, he takes it on his own. Cause he comes down in the shop, he'll come down the stairs, he'll walk in the shop and go, wow. And just like look around and like run around, like grab all the spools off the racks and like look at the printers when they're running. And I'm like, okay. So for me, it's just like getting the kids into it, just to like, if they see you excited about something, they want to do it. Right. And and my kid sees that every day. He comes down, he's like, oh, what's dad doing? And I'm like designing stuff on the computer or messing with printers. And he's like, wow. And it's so funny to hear your kid just go, wow, for like the simplest thing, man. So
they love it. So to what extent do you think about what AI is going to bring to the table for you, or threaten, you know, anything that you're working on?
I mean, AI, I mean, it can never take your individual creativity for me. I mean, it can try to replicate it and it will do a crappy job. Obviously, it's going to get better. You look at what AI is now and that's the worst it's going to get. And you're like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But for like designing, I think it will help you, because you'll still be able to fine tune. There's already software and AI programs that you type in like, oh, I want a gear with this many spikes or whatever, and like threads, and I want this and this and this. And they're like, okay. And you press a button and it makes it for you. And you're like,
wow,
dang. And and that was like 6 months ago when that first came out. It was pretty good. So I can't imagine what it is today.
So in your mind, it really isn't that AI is going to take over. It's that people who are leveraging AI effectively are going to take over the people who refuse to adapt.
I think AI is going to be a great tool to use. I don't think it's going to take over a lot, but obviously, yeah, it can do mundane tasks. But I think for like the grand scheme of things, I think it's a great tool, and I'll be able to use it in the future if I want something like simple that I can all of a sudden take and modify myself a little bit. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Is something you said made me think of this. Is the reason you think that your products for people, I mean, you make really cool stuff, but is the differentiator, you think, like the time that you had to use to design it, the fact that you're using a 3D printer and you're not just shipping designs off to some manufacturer in China, is that part of what makes your value prop compelling in your mind?
I think it definitely helps, because what you do when you do that is you build a connection with the community. So I always share like the building process of all the new products that come out with, and people start getting excited and they look at it online and stuff. And I think it's like, that's where what I love the aspect of it is like building with the community. And that's what I've done with over the last however many years, is just build with the community. If they want something, I'll build with it and I'll just share. And that's how my business is still here, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, because it's like there's probably a proof of work in like in a 3D print doesn't happen in a minute, or at least not all of them do, right? Probably a lot of the designs you're running through are taking a while.
I mean, the BitX V8, that takes like 48 hours to print.
So I think people understand, like, you could go feasibly do that in you know, a large manufacturing plant, outsource that, and do it for cheap, for, you know, less money, and probably ship it anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
But you lose that connection of like, hey, like this is like, I'm creating this. Cause you had maybe two or three printers in Las Vegas.
Yeah. I think we had two running. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And so people could show up, meet you, shake your hand, and see how the items that they might purchase from your website are actually created. And you realize there was design work on the front end that you had to, you know, craft this thing. And now we've got to wait for it to finish, because it's not just, you know, it's not like you know, printing bags of potato chips off of the end of an assembly line where it just happens.
Yeah.
Like there's time that goes into it, and you're losing money, so to speak, waiting on that next one. Because if you could do one every hour, you'd never be sold out. You'd always be meeting demand perfectly. But I assume that's just something that's a compromise you've made because it.
Yeah, because we love to keep everything we do custom. So you always get to choose the colors. Everything we do has always been print as you buy. We don't really have stock.
That's awesome.
I've learned my lesson in the early years of printing off hundreds of whatever. And then in reality, it's just sitting there because everybody wants custom stuff. And that's, for me, that's the best part about 3D printing is you get to choose the colors. You get to choose where you want them. And that's what most of our products are. So everything we do, like when we get a huge like queue, orders are going to take longer because we're still printing everything as you order them and it's in a queue. But this allows us to give you guys more customability over the product itself.
Do you have any automation from when someone places an order to it gets like sent to the printer, or are you manually filling all that?
I do all of that, man. So we're doing that here. And then if we get super busy, Mopar Mining is running out of Florida. He has 14 printers, and then he's running everything off of our Amazon store.
Okay, got it. So if you happen to be out of town, if you guys are out of town at the same time, you might just be waiting for a little bit.
Yeah, the queue's there. It's stacking up, and that's what happens when I take a couple days off, even for Thanksgiving. I come back, I'm like, holy crap, all right. And then it's just like a couple late nights, and you just run printers 24/7, so.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about we'll head for home here, but why don't you tell me a little bit about, I saw on your website, you'll do like custom work, not just your products in whatever color, but like if I came to you, how does this work? If I came to you with an idea, I don't have a 3D printer and I want, you know, a prototype for something made, or how does that work?
So we've done that before. So we've done a ton of prototype work where somebody has like the file they designed. We do both. So if somebody wants a file designed, we'll do that, design your file, and then we'll give it to you, depending on whatever plan you buy. Or if you have a product design, you want a prototype and you're really worried about stuff, we'll sign NDAs. We've done that before. You send us the file, we'll print off to whatever specs you want and send them to you. So that way you can actually look at your product before you do, bulk manufacturing, if it's like injection molding or 3D printing yourself. So we've done both options. We love doing that. I think it's important for us to keep helping out like smaller businesses and other people do that, because we're a small business. So if they come up with an idea and they want to just have a prototype and they don't have 3D printers, we're more than happy to give that option to them.
That's interesting, because I had a product idea. I don't remember what it was now. It was a few years ago, and I talked to a friend who has contacts at manufacturers in China and designers. Yep. And he's like, the problem is like just to get that first, you know, prototype is crazy expensive. And
so you got to build a mold for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so your point is, don't do that.
Like, no, if you want to just see what your prototype is, and you have a file, send it to me. I will 3D print it for you. And you can look at like what the basic is. If you think that's a good idea and you want to take it further, absolutely get a mold made and get an injection molded or whatever you want to do. Or like 3D print it yourself. But it is true. It is important that I want to get people started off for as cheap as I can and give them their idea in real life. And what we normally do is like do our print my STL file. We have that, and they just send an STL and we print it at like $3 an hour. And we just calculate however many hours it takes to print.
Oh, that's awesome. Yep. Yeah. I think that's, I don't remember what your pricing was on your, or what was listed on your site. I have a feeling for a lot of people, like if they're looking to like go manufacture a product and they just need a prototype, it would look expensive until you compare it to, 10, 20, 50X the alternative of going to like one of these manufacturers and using their designers and they've got to do the molds. And I thought it would be sort of trivial to go to them and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking.
You're talking 10 to 20 grand sometimes, like and that all depends on the size of your mold, right? If you have a bigger product, get ready.
That is crazy.
Yep.
All righty, man. I don't really have much more for you. I think we covered a lot of ground in a little over 40 minutes. So I got to ask my final question that I ask everyone, and that is, what is an unpopular opinion you have? Bonus points if you offend some Bitcoiners with it.
Perfect. My unpopular opinion is I don't think we need to open source everything.
Hmm.
For me,
elaborate.
For me, it's always wild watching people open source stuff and it just gets ripped by lazy ass people and they claim it as their own. It's happened time and time again. And for me, I think communists love open source more than anything. Free market capitalists, I think if you design something, you should hold the rights and you should make it, make your money. Where obviously Bitcoin's different. It's protocol, it's money, it's digital cash different. Something, obviously there will be exceptions in the open source model, but I think open source is a big LARPing marketing scam for most people. And that's probably going to offend some people.
I think that, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I think where open source is beneficial is when security is of paramount importance. So when it comes to like hardware wallets,
absolutely.
When it comes to, yeah, obviously a monetary, globally decentralized monetary protocol.
Want that open source. Yes.
You got to verify. You can't trust.
Absolutely.
But I think that makes a lot of sense when it comes to a private business who's, trying to, build their own moat. And I think that's what private businesses have done throughout time. That's not like you hear about moats and it's like, you're talking about Microsoft and stuff and they're in bed with government. And it's like, that's crony capitalism. That's not free market capitalism.
No, anyway. There's a very big difference on that.
Yeah. Okay, man. I think you'll make some people mad with that. I like it.
Probably. Perfect.
Yeah. All right, Rick. Hey, tell people where they can find you, learn more about CryptoCloaks and anything else you want to send them to.
Yeah, so check us out. We're at CryptoCloaks.com. If you're in Europe and you want to save a lot of money, CryptoCloaks.eu. Find us on X, Instagram, CryptoCloaks. And if this comes out in time for the Christmas Bonanza, you should definitely check out the Christmas Bonanza. There's a reason why I'm wearing this.
Okay.
We're giving away $27,000 worth of stuff with a whole bunch of like 40 plus different companies all month long. So definitely check us out. For that.
It should be out before Christmas, so we'll beautiful. Make sure that people get there. I'll share it in the description. But hey, man, first of all, thank you for your time. For everyone listening, though, seriously, if you didn't pick up on it, we've got one of the few remaining based Bitcoiners here who's not just shilling paper Bitcoin. So appreciate you building. Appreciate you taking some time to come on today, man. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me. And if you guys have any 3D printing questions, reach out to me. I will be more than happy to set aside time and help you out. If you ever want to run your own Bitcoin business, reach out. I've answered tons of questions on that too. I think it's very important and a spirit we need to continue.
Awesome, Rick. Appreciate it, man. You take care. Have a great day. We'll talk soon.
You too.
And that's a wrap. Again, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Rick. I know I sure did. Go check out CryptoCloaks, support him. I think there's also a link in his bio on X where you can buy him a beer. Can send some sats, and I did that just for kicks. He's just a fun and funny guy. But again, support him. Really appreciate him being here. Of course, if you need help taking your Bitcoin into proper 100% self-custody, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. You can schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. We can help you run a node, run your own solo miner, as Rick and I discussed. And of course, we have some personal cybersecurity, privacy phone setup services, and a Plan B residency option as well. Again, it's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying this channel, do me a huge favor. Give us a like, subscribe, comment, share it with someone who you think might be interested. We would really appreciate that. And until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.